This is Wake Up Call.
Who there at the beginning is right, right? Remember the first computer class in high school?
On the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, we have reached the midweek point here on the Wednesday, and yet, this show has not done its top five, bottom five, because we still have one more game to play in week 12, but that's going to be today, hopefully, barring any unforeseen circumstance, or better yet, a foreseen circumstance with COVID-19. Steelers and Ravens scheduled to kick off at Heinz Field later this afternoon. This afternoon, while many of you are at work, because you got to watch the tree lighting tonight. Not football, the tree lighting. Remember that. Remember that time the next time the tree lighting needs a favor from the NFL, right? We'll remember this date. So the Steelers and the Ravens are playing, and it's thrown a lot of questions up in the air about the COVID-19 policy for the NFL. The NFL has got some contingency plans in place in case everything breaks down. My question is, and we'll explore in the show today, has it already broken down? I mean, what's the point on having a lot of these buffer weeks if you're just going to tell teams, well, we're not going to use the buffer weeks. Don't worry about it. You're going to be screwed over with your bye weeks and playing without a quarterback and not having a long weekend or any of these other things that have been occurring this season. If you've built in this buffer week, what difference does it make? We'll get into that in the show this morning. Also, the college football playoff rankings once again are out. Did we learn anything? The top seven did not change. Now, we may not be looking at a possible playoff maneuvering here with the way college football is going, but there are some New Year's Six bowl game circumstances that have been affected by the rankings, and we'll sort that out later in the show as well. Plus, it's not a throwback Thursday, but on this date, back in 1975, Archie Griffin won the Heisman for the second time in his career, and we may think, oh, that's great, you know, a guy won the Heisman for the second time, but it has now changed the way people think about the Heisman Trophy for people that are up for it a second time. We'll discuss that as well. Got to get into the show today. Love to hear from you. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. Or if you'd like to phone the show, it's 800-224-2004 as we get going. But coming up, so what's the deal with the NFL and this COVID-19 virus anyway? What is so inconsistent about the way this league is administering its policy? We'll talk about that next as we roll along on a Wednesday, Sports Map Radio. It is Wake Up Call.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, make sure your family doesn't have a fever by taking their temperatures before dinner and in the morning. Stay safe with the Exogen Temporal Scanner. It takes an accurate reading in seconds and is the number one preferred thermometer of pediatricians. So, the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers will play today. After all, hopefully no last-minute cancellations or postponements. But the Ravens are going in very shorthanded into this game. Now, remember, this was a game that was scheduled for Thursday night, for Thanksgiving night. It's supposed to be part of your holiday triple header. But then there was a problem. And so what had happened was they moved the game to Sunday. Then they moved the game to Monday. Then they moved the game to Wednesday. Tuesday. And then moved the game to Wednesday. In all, it's been rescheduled three times because of different outbreaks and the inability of the Ravens to control this virus. But there's a larger picture here, right? And that is, what's the NFL's policy on this? How does the NFL view this in terms of the COVID-19 pandemic? Now, look, we've had a season, and we've had a sports season in general, that has leagues scrambling to try to get games in, mostly because they need the revenue. But also being very careful in how they go about doing that, right? We've seen the bubble effect. We've seen making sure that there are no fans in the stands. We've seen all these protocols, right? Negative tests, got to be tested again, all of these things. The NFL came into this season knowing what was ahead of itself. It got a head start on its planning. It didn't have to scramble to find something quick. It didn't. It wasn't trying to salvage anything on a quick turn like the NBA and the NHL were, or Major League Baseball for that matter. They had to figure out really quick how they were going to get in the rest of their season. And with Major League Baseball, just making sure they got a season in at all. Football had a buffer. They had a period of time. This is something that affected us in March. Shut down sports in early March. We lost the tournament and everything, and then these leagues went scrambling. But the NFL held its draft the way it was supposed to. Yeah, it affected its off season, but it felt like it was survivable. All right, so we won't have some OTAs, and we won't have preseason games. But you know what matters the most is these regular season games. So we got to put something in place and get with the union to sort of talk about how we're going to go about doing this. We don't want bubbles, so you can go home to your family. You can come to work. We're going to be testing a lot. But here's what's going to happen when this virus affects teams. One of the things the NFL did was put in some buffer weeks. It wasn't locked into the Super Bowl, for example. They could move the Super Bowl if they need to. They could move the postseason if they need to. So they crossed off all of those T's and dotted the I's before the season started. All right, we've got some weeks and we can manipulate the schedule if we need to. So here we are. It's early December. Week 12 is about to wrap up today if they get this game in. Have they used any of these buffer weeks? Are we going to have a week 18? No, right now, no. The answer is no. They've punished the Denver Broncos, making them play without a quarterback. They have taken this particular game today and moved it three times in a week. They have taken bye week from the Steelers and gave them one in week four, making them play 13 straight weeks without a break. Now, that's okay for the Steelers because if everything holds true, they should get a bye week. But what if they weren't getting a bye week? What if they were fighting for a wild card spot after week four? There has been no interest in this league whatsoever to use any of the tools at its disposal. What it has been saying is, we really don't know what we're doing. We're playing it by ear, and everybody come along for the ride. Because, man, it should be fun, shouldn't it? And it's got people confused, and rightfully so. Look, I'm a Steeler fan. I can't wait for this game this afternoon. But I'm lucky. I get to watch this game this afternoon because my work period occurs now. But for many Steeler fans, it's time to play hooky, or it's time to find it in the break room or on the computer or watch it on my phone while I'm sitting in my office or listen to it on the radio as I drive around making deliveries or whatever it is that I do for a living. The NFL is not using any of the plans in place. Now, I don't know why. Maybe there's a very good reason for that. Maybe they really don't. Look, maybe they sat down and said, look, if we move these things like the Super Bowl, like the playoffs, all this other stuff, maybe there's some ramifications. We really don't want to break glass in the emergency, right? We don't want to go to that resort. We like the fire extinguisher exactly where it is, and we really don't want to break it open unless we have to. Maybe we can just put out the fire with the towel. But it seems to me when you have a league that has been doing this all year, manipulating the schedules, changing bye weeks, forcing teams to play without a quarterback, moving a game three times like they're doing now. What's the purpose? If you have tools at your disposal to make it just a little bit easier on the players and the viewing public. The message seems to be, come hell or high water, we're getting all the games in. We're absolutely getting all the games in. But what if they don't? Is it the end of the world? I mean, is it going to be awful if teams don't get 16 games in? We have adjusted as fans. We just watched the NBA play in one location for 3 months. We just watched a World Series where it was played on a neutral site. Right? We watched the NHL crown its champion with two sites in Canada. Which, by the way, they haven't won the Stanley Cup since 1993. And at least the country got to see it being awarded. But we've adjusted as fans. We've watched the Masters in November. We're watching Ohio State compete for a college football playoff spot with four games under their belt in December. And the NFL continues to say, we're going to try to keep this as normal as possible for you, even though many of us, me included, would love to say to the league, we're good. If you want to move this game to week 18, go ahead. If you want to give the Denver Broncos and the New Orleans Saints two more days until their quarterbacks test negative, that's fine with us. And yet the league seems to be insistent on every single issue needs to be evaluated and a decision without any sort of precedent whatsoever. And it's confusing. I'm glad they're getting games in. I really am. Listen, I don't want 13 and 12, and I don't want, I want 16. I want everybody to play 16. And I'm glad that they're forging through. I think we have to at some times say, if you can do it, even with the virus, do it. But at the same time, let's have some idea that there's a competitive balance that is being weighed in amongst trying to cram all of this stuff in because of the virus. I said earlier this week, I think what the NFL did with the Broncos was wrong. I really do. I know that they made a mistake. I know Jeff Driscoll and Brett Rypien and Drew Locke and Blake Bortles, I know they made a mistake. They did. But the Broncos organization was punished for it, and the NFL was punished for it, to be honest with you. The way it affected that game and the way that could have affected the way Tampa Bay now looks up to the Saints in the standings and the way the playoff picture could be formulating in the AFC if the Broncos had pulled off a victory. And this game, too, the Ravens are going in so shorthanded. And look, I don't want to forfeit, and I'm glad the Steelers are going to be a heavy favorite today to go to 11-0. The Ravens are a big mark on their schedule. But at the same time, let's be realistic here. This is madness so far. This is an inconsistent policy. And the NFL is starting to look weak for this if they don't get a handle on what they could create. They can move the Super Bowl 4 weeks. They have a 4-week window and have yet to use one of those weeks in this process. Not one. To settle down and go, we'll make up these games at another time. I'm not cramming them in on a Wednesday afternoon. Again, as much as I like to see it, it's a Wednesday afternoon. They're cramming an NFL game that was supposed to be played on Thanksgiving Day. It's silly. Again, if they have a good reason, God bless them. But I don't see it. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. All right, coming up, the Heisman Trophy. It's a big award. It's one of my favorite awards of all time. I love the dynamic of it. I love the way it's voted on. I love the way it's regional. You try to win votes. It's kind of like a presidential election, if you will. But Archie Griffin on this date won his Heisman for the second time. How does it affect the way we vote today? It's interesting. I'll get you that coming up. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, need replacement parts and tools for your repair, maintenance, or restoration project? O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They know what it takes to get the job right done right the first time. In fact, professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Stop by, talk to one of the professional parts people today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. We will get to the college football playoff committee rankings. Wish we had something shorter. Could we just call them CFPR? Is that what it is? No. That's even too confusing. Just college football playoff committee rankings.
That doesn't roll right off the tongue.
No,
there.
It doesn't. How about committee rankings?
Committee rankings.
That sounds good.
I'll just call it like college playoff rankings.
Yeah, that's. I'm probably making it way too hard. That's probably true.
Because do we really care if it's football? We know what it is.
No, we know what it is. There's only one real committee that's ranking teams that care about.
Do we care about college soccer playoff rankings?
No. I'm a huge college basketball fan, but I don't pay attention to the rankings at all. The AP coaches' rankings, I don't care. I couldn't care less.
Those don't count.
I haven't cared about them in 30 years that I've covered the sport.
That, you know what that is? That is the true testament to what we always say at the beginning of the year, that it's just a marketing ploy.
Absolutely. So you just completely.
That basketball is the true test of that.
It completely is. When you see, like, Baylor and Illinois are playing today, and Baylor is ranked second and Illinois is ranked fifth, it's like, oh, that's a great matchup. Yeah, they're two good teams, but seriously, those numbers mean nothing. I mean, they have no value whatsoever. None. I mean, good for the schools. I mean, if they want to promote that and you want to feel good if you're an alumni, that's great, right? But, you know, like if you're Texas A&M football and you're ranked fifth, that matters because something. You've got, there's some positioning there. You might be like, well, if there's some things that happen, we might get in the conversation. But if you're Florida and you're sixth, or you're Georgia and you're eighth, or whatever it is, there's some value to that. There's New Year's bowl games at stake, et cetera. But college basketball, I couldn't care less who's number 1, 10, 20, unranked. It doesn't matter.
By the time we get to the fun part of the college basketball, there's four number ones.
That's it. That's all we care about.
There's four twos, four threes, all down the list.
Yep. So it is totally irrelevant to me. By the way, do you know what Kirk Herbstreit said about Michigan and Ohio State? Wow. I love Kirk Herbstreit. Yeah. But first of all, here's the deal. I've known because I've done this a long time. You get casual in your conversation, right? And then you kind of say something, and then your brain goes, that didn't sound good. And I think that's kind of what he was implying here. Like, he was just kind of implying, like, Michigan could opt out of this game and really hurt Ohio State. And then it kind of was taken as Michigan wouldn't want to play Ohio State, and the Michigan fans got mad, and Herbstreit had to later come on and apologize for that. Like, I didn't really mean it like that. But what he said was kind of true.
Well, of course he feels that way too. He's a former Buckeye.
That's right. That's the other thing, is that you can't be a former Buckeye and make a comment that Michigan could opt out of the game. Because and he actually said, listen, I have a 25-year track record of not taking my shots at Michigan. And that's true. He's gone out of his way to make sure that he doesn't let his Buckeye love flow through in his analysis. He's been criticized for that many, many times because he's been overly critical against Ohio State many times in his career. And he's gotten some backlash from Buckeye fans about that. But that was kind of a bold step to take for a Buckeye quarterback.
Yeah.
Say Michigan would want to opt out of the game.
But quite honestly, on point.
It is true.
Could you not see Michigan doing that?
Of course. Sure.
You know, I mean, you
try to keep them out of the championship game.
Michigan could get one over on Ohio State and guarantees Harbaugh won't lose to Ohio State again.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, exactly. At least you won't do it.
What
this
do you want me to do? COVID.
COVID's a weird, this is a weird thing because, you know, like we talked about this and we talked about it a lot with Dabo in Florida State, but seriously, do you need to prove that you have COVID running through your program in order to get out of a game? Do you have to show the conference that you've gotten six players that have tested positive if you wanted to not play for whatever reason it might be? And I don't think that's happening. I'm not trying to imply that it is, but let's just say you didn't want to play a particular football game. Do you have to prove it? Do you have to say, all right, here's the paperwork and all of our what's going through our program? I would assume you would. I'm assuming that you wouldn't just be able to just say COVID and they go, yeah, we'll take your word for it. But yeah, Herbstreit got himself in a little trouble. he's a powerful voice for the sport. You know, you got to be. Joel Klatt is the same thing. He's got that position as well with Fox. He's the lead analysis guy, and when he puts out something on Twitter, he's got to clarify it. Going, wait a minute, I'm not implying that Iowa State did anything wrong or USC is manipulating this. I'm just pointing out these irregularities. So on this date in 1975, Archie Griffin won back-to-back Heismans, and that was a great accomplishment. If you win a Heisman, it's fantastic. If you win two, it's, you know, you're immortal. The Heisman Trophy is my favorite award, I think, because of the way it's given out. It's so different than other awards, right? Look, when it comes to the MVP in baseball, let's say you got these baseball writers and they vote for the MVP. These guys cover the sport across the country. So even if you are a baseball writer that has an MVP vote and you're on the Red Sox beat, you make it a point to know what Mike Trout is doing every single game. You're following the trends of the sport. You're following the statistics. And you try to say, look, I'm representing all of baseball, so here it is. The Heisman vote, there's so many different people that have a Heisman vote. Former winners have a Heisman vote. older broadcasters have a Heisman vote. Writers who no longer are with the team have a Heisman vote. It really is amazing. Each area of the country has a committee, and they give it out to people who cover college football. And sometimes you have a vote and you don't know why you have a vote. I've told you many times that my first job in radio, the sports director at the station, had a Heisman vote and didn't follow college football at all. At all. In fact, I technically voted for the Heisman 2 years. My first 2 years at the radio station, because he said, you got to tell me where should I go with this? He literally was a pro guy. And in New Hampshire, you could get away with that. As if you grew up in New England, it's amazing how college football just is not on the top tier landscape of thought when you're a sports fan. You can literally not care about college football in that part of the country. And so he didn't. He was from there. He's from that area. He was in his mid-30s. He was like, I don't really follow the sport that well. Enough to vote for the Heisman, but the job came with a vote. So I kind of technically voted twice. It's weird. Like, nobody knows. Like, I don't know how to get one. Like, I've covered college football. I was a beat reporter for the Buffaloes for a radio station that I worked at. I was going to games and reporting and going to practices and doing filing. I never got offered a Heisman vote, so it's really weird who has votes and who doesn't. But it's very regional. It's very regional. I mean, on the day of the award, they'll talk about, well, in the western part of the United States, there are two candidates, right? This guy from Oregon and this guy from USC. They may split the vote in Oregon, whereas in the South, there is one guy that stands head and shoulders all the rest. He's going to get all of the first place votes from the Southern voters, and he's going to trickle into the Midwest and in the Northeast and possibly get some third place votes here in the West. It's very political. It's like a political election, right? There's swing states, swing areas. Your goal as a player is to try to get on as many ballots as possible because you get points based on first, second, and third place votes. And so in the end, it's much like the Electoral College, if you will. Archie Griffin winning back-to-back Heismans really changed the dynamic of the way people view voting. And that is, anytime a underclassman wins the award, now for many, many, many years, it would have only been a junior, because winning it, Tim Tebow was the first sophomore to win it, and Johnny Manziel was the first freshman to win it. But for many years, it would have just been a junior. But if you were a junior and you won the Heisman Trophy and you stayed for your senior year, you were not going to be graded on your performance against everybody else in college football. What Archie Griffin did was change the thought process. Here's how it worked. If you were a junior and you won the Heisman, and the next year you had just as good a record, just as good numbers, right? Just still rolling along, playing well. Let's say you're a quarterback, and your touchdown to interception ratio is remaining the same. You're contending for a national title. The voters would then look at you and say, is this person really on the legendary level of college football history? Is he just a quarterback that's having two really good years? If I vote for him to win the Heisman, it's not just he wins the Heisman twice. He's going to be on another level of greatness. And is this person really on the next level of greatness? And that's the thought. That was the thought process. It's one of the reasons I thought Tim Tebow would win multiple Heismans. When he won it his sophomore year, I remember thinking, this kid is such a special player that he's going to win it again, because it made sense that he would be one of the great college football players of all time. He deserved to be on that upper echelon of multiple winners. Now, a lot of guys don't stick around long enough to win it twice. But Jason White is another example. He was the Oklahoma quarterback, won it his junior year, came back for his senior year. I just didn't see him winning. I couldn't imagine voters saying, yeah, I like Jason White. I like him. He's a good player, but he's not on the upper echelon of greatness this sport ever has offered. Yeah, and the award has had its bumps along the way. Herschel Walker not winning it because he was an underclassman. It's one of the travesties of the early thought process of voting. But 1975, that is now 45 years ago. And Archie Griffin, and we have not seen another back-to-back Heisman winner since. All right, coming up, speaking of the playoff committee rankings, did we learn anything? Maybe we didn't learn a thing, but maybe, just maybe, we did. I'll tell you what next as we continue with Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, glad you could be with us. Coming up next hour, Ari Wasserman is going to join us from The Athletic. We'll talk Big Ten football. Speaking of The Athletic, they deliver sports stories that matter to you. Full-time local writers dedicated to your teams, and they provide breaking news, in-depth analysis, and exclusive stories you can't get anywhere else. They got national names you know and love, like David Aldridge, Ken Rosenthal, Lindsey Jones, Robert Mays, Stuart Mandel. They provide unrivaled league-level perspective and insight. It's all personalized and ad-free. A great sports website. Whether you're looking for a fantasy football edge or an NBA team outlook, The Athletic is the sports coverage you need, and they have got a great deal. Subscribe today. It's their best deal of the year. Black Friday and December 4th, so it's coming up. It's like 2 days away. You get this great deal where you can get 12 months of The Athletic or just a dollar a month at theathletic.com/Black Friday Radio. Cancel anytime. Again, The Athletic's best deal of the year. A dollar a month for 12 months. Can't go wrong with this. Give it a try. Visit theathletic.com/Black Friday Radio. I've said this many times. I go to it a lot. It's my go-to site. Anytime I go to the computer, or even for anything, I always go to The Athletic just to see what breaking news or what stories will be available for my favorite teams. But even if you don't have a favorite team and just want to know what's going on with, like, the Patriots, let's say, they've got local writers. Bam, you just click on the Patriots page, and there's all the information that you need about what's going on within their organization. Fantastic site. All right, the college football playoff rankings release, and there were no changes in the top seven. So to recap, it's Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, and Ohio State. Those are the four that are in as of today. Texas A&M at 5, Florida is at 6, Cincinnati is at 7. The Bearcats are unbeaten at 8-0. Georgia moved up to 8, and Iowa State is 9th at 6-2. You can go down the list. But nothing's changed. Now, there was a conversation amongst the committee members whether or not they would flip Ohio State and Texas A&M for the time being. That obviously would change because Texas A&M has a loss to Alabama, and you would want to sense where the SEC championship game was going. Texas A&M still has a shot at this. They really do, because they may get an Alabama benefit. Remember when Alabama didn't play? It was like a couple of years ago. When was it that Alabama didn't play for the conference title and then got in anyway and won the national championship? Texas A&M may benefit from that because Ohio State at 4-0, let's say Ohio State doesn't play any more games. Let's say it all gets shut down. COVID just kills their schedule. The College Football Playoff Committee is different than the Big Ten. The Big Ten is saying you need at least 6 games to compete for its conference championship. The College Football Playoff Committee is supposed to go, it doesn't matter to us. We are taking everything as it stands, eyeballing it and discussing it amongst ourselves. It doesn't matter. You know, they don't care who you crown as champion. They will still judge it based on what they think. Like Alabama, again, didn't win the West, still got in and still went on to win the national championship because, again, the committee said, look, even if Alabama didn't go to the SEC title game, they're still one of the top teams in college football. They're still one of the top 4 teams in college football based on the talent they have. Texas A&M may still carry a little bit if Alabama kicks Florida out of the conversation. Notre Dame, let's say Notre Dame hands Clemson its second loss. There's still an opportunity for Texas A&M here. So there were a couple of things, though, that when you're talking about New Year's 6 games, that were affected by what happened yesterday. There were some course corrections, if you will. Iowa State has been moved up to 9. Now, that's a big deal. And it's a big deal because when you look at where the Big 12 is, right, they don't have a team that's knocking on the door of this playoff, but they are trying to garner some respect. Oklahoma had some suspensions at the beginning of the year, but since then is starting to play really good football. One of its losses was to Iowa State. But Iowa State also has lost to Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns out of the Sun Belt. Oklahoma State, one of Iowa State's other losses is to Oklahoma State. Now, Oklahoma State went from 23rd up to 15th. This looks like, to many pundits, a correction of sorts based on the way the committee is now viewing that conference. Is saying, look, Oklahoma State's 5-2. Their one loss was to Oklahoma, and that's not so bad. And so the Sooners were starting to like, Iowa State were really starting to like, and now Oklahoma State we really are starting to like. And that makes a difference as we get into the conversation of how the New Year's 6 bowl games are going to be. One thing that is really, really sticking out, though, is BYU. They're 9-0, and they ain't getting any love at all. When we talk about teams on the outside knocking on the door that are trying to get into this playoff, BYU at 9-0 is not knocking on the door. They're 13th. Now, a lot of it is BYU having to scramble for a schedule, and you get what you get, and that's basically what they've done. But when we talk about a team like Texas A&M that like could get some help and be in the conversation despite not going to Atlanta, Florida controlling its own destiny beat Alabama in the title game and you're in, it's to have an unbeaten team, an independent that could not align itself with the conference 9-0, they're not getting any love whatsoever. The question obviously is going to be this. Let's be honest, it's Ohio State. It all is going to be predicated. Everything that we talk about with this committee rankings are going to stem around Ohio State. Where exactly are they? Now, let's say they get taken out of the picture. Where would this committee go? We talked about the scenario about Florida and Alabama and Notre Dame and Clemson, about how you have these four really good football teams, and each conference there's a collision course in the conference title games between these opponents. Alabama playing Florida and Atlanta, and then Clemson taking on Notre Dame. If Florida at 6-1 with a Heisman Trophy candidate and Kyle Trask at quarterback should get into a really good game with Alabama where the ball bounces their way and upset the Crimson Tide in the SEC title game, I don't think you punish Alabama at all. And then you'd have a SEC champion in Florida with only one loss. Now you've locked in two spots. I don't care what anybody says. You locked in two spots. And Clemson, meanwhile, the same thing with Notre Dame. If they were to beat Notre Dame now that they have Trevor Lawrence back, and Notre Dame's got one loss, and Clemson has one loss, and they both played each other really well, they may lock in the other two spots. It leaves Ohio State in limbo. If you like Ohio State a lot, you're probably going to kick out one of the ACC teams, likely Notre Dame, if they don't win the conference title. But let's say Ohio State's resume just doesn't improve. They're 4-0. They haven't played a lot of games. You can do the eyeball test all you want, but in the end, maybe they need some more meat on the bone. That would mean Ohio State is out. But what if Ohio State's out anyway and we go chalk? Right? Alabama hands Florida its second loss and Notre Dame hands Clemson its second loss. What would that do? So you'd have Alabama and Notre Dame at 1-2, then you'd have a wide open field for 3-4. If you don't like Ohio State and the two-loss Clemson team and a two-loss Florida team are out, are you bringing in Cincinnati out of the AAC at 8-0? Are you going to be doing that? Would you really do that? In a world of COVID, that seems logical. You'd likely go to Texas A&M, as they would wrap up their season with one loss, and even though they didn't play in Atlanta, you'd probably throw them into the mix. SEC's in pretty good position. But that is the overall question, is Ohio State. Where exactly are we with Ohio State? Again, Ari Wasserman's going to join us next hour, and we'll talk about this from The Athletic. Because it is a curious situation.
I know. If this game gets canceled, it's against Michigan State this weekend, right?
Yes.
If it gets canceled, they're done.
Yeah. That's right.
They're done.
Michael on Twitter, 2011 Alabama lost to LSU and didn't play in the SEC championship, but played LSU again in the national championship. Yes, but we weren't in the playoff format at the time. That was still BCS.
Yeah. That was when a computer did it.
I got to look it up. My brain is a little foggy. Alabama lost to Auburn and still made the playoff. It did not play in Atlanta and still made the playoff. I gotta look that up. But in the 2011 situation, LSU beat Alabama in a field goal battle. It was like 9-6 during the regular season. And there was a conversation about Alabama, like, hey, you lose, you lose. You didn't even win your division. But it was Oklahoma State, I believe, that year. They lost. And it sort of set this sort of reaction that Alabama, hey, look, Alabama's still really good, and the computer spit them out. What? I don't think it was that long ago that Alabama did this, where they lost the Iron Bowl, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and then played for the national title and won the national title. See, it's been done. And if I was the committee, I'm not saying the committee tries to make a point with these things. They're really trying to give you the best four teams. But they had always said from the very beginning, look, don't hand us your champion because we may not take him. No, a three-loss SEC East champion that gets in because attrition, right, because their division stinks, and pulls off an upset against an unbeaten Alabama team in Atlanta, you're not getting in. Like, you're not getting in just because you've been crowned the conference champion. You have to have some wins. I mean, you can't just get in because your division is weak and then you pull off an upset. Like, it's not going to get you in. Like, we're really looking for the four best teams, regardless of any criteria. We don't want to, what the committee was really trying to do from the very beginning was say, we do not want to be attached to anything. We want to do this completely and utterly on our own. We want to look at everybody and we don't want to be attached to, well, you have to take this team because they did X. So, and I don't blame them for that, to be honest with you. If you're going to go to these committees meetings and you're going to sit in a room and you're going to evaluate tape and you have the discussion, what's the point if you're bound by, in the end, who wins conference championship games? Well, then what's the point? Like, what would be the point of these rankings? Like, the reason that the College Football Playoff Committee rankings kind of matter is because we get an idea of what they're thinking. Now, they've changed some things up over the years, but we get an idea of, like, okay, they apparently really like this team. They're not very impressed with that team. They're really liking this conference, or they're not really liking this conference. And that gives us a little insight into what they may do in the final total when they send the four teams off to the playoff. But if they're tied to championship weekend, right? If they say, look, whoever wins these conference, whoever are the best teams that come out of the conference championship games, well, then what's the point of sitting in a room discussing this in November? Because it really isn't, to be honest with you. And also, too, you just never know what team is going to emerge victorious out of the conference title game. Again, as I said, take any conference with divisions, right? Instead of the Big 12, which takes one in versus two, like, take the SEC. I'll give you the best example. Like, the West may be really good, and, like, you might have an unbeaten team that plays its schedule and comes out of the West unbeaten, like an Alabama. And then the East may be weak, right? Where Florida might have two losses bouncing around, or Georgia might have two losses getting bounced around a division where they're not as strong and the teams are kind of weak and they get upset a couple times, but they still win the division and they're still representing the East, and they go to Atlanta and they pull off a miracle and they win the game. You're not going to send that team to the College Football Playoff, right? So that's why they don't want to be tethered to those ideas. So if you're Texas A&M, root for a little chaos, like root for Alabama to crush Florida so they're out of the conversation. Root for Notre Dame so that Clemson may be out of the conversation. Maybe hope Ohio State never hits the field again for any college football game and see what they do with those four victories. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio Network.
This is Wake Up Call. Sportsnet Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
This hour of Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. Coming up next hour, Ari Wasserman will join us from The Athletic. We'll talk Big Ten. Also, we got the good, the bad, and the dumb. We'll talk more about the Baltimore Steeler game this afternoon. By the way, you know what? I'm always into new experiences. This will be fun. A Wednesday afternoon NFL game. You know, it's like, remember when baseball starts, how fun it is when the playoffs start and you have all these like afternoon games?
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, we're in this afternoon. We're in Tampa for the Yankees and Rays. Game one. It'll be Garrett Cole going up against Charlie Morton. And you're like, oh, this is cool. It's 1 o'clock. Watch some playoff baseball. This will be the same feeling.
It's going, like, to be weird.
Here's Heinz Field on a Wednesday.
Just all of a sudden, I mean, you know you're going to forget at some point.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you're going to remember, like, oh, no, there's a live football game on right now. What am I doing?
So because my brain was like screaming, find out that answer, I did. It was the 2017 football season that Alabama didn't win the conference championship in the SEC. Auburn did. And Alabama did get in despite not playing in Atlanta. And they did go on to win the national title. They beat Georgia. Remember, that was Tua Tagovailoa that came in for Jalen Hurts and electrified the offense on that big throw that won the championship. But that year, Alabama went 7-1 with their loss to Auburn that gave them the West Division. The Tigers would go on to the SEC title game, losing to Georgia, but Alabama got into the playoff that year and beat Georgia for the national title. So it's happened before. I was trying to remember. I was like, I know it happened a handful of years ago. because it was a big controversy, right? Because people like – they like things – we like to have a system, right? We like a process. We, you know, college football has never given you one in its entire existence, right? It's never given you rhyme or reason as to what it takes to win a national championship. Look, it's better than the old way, right? Where you just had a bunch of old guys at going, least, we voted and you're the title winner. Congratulations. Yeah, pick up your trophy.
We get four teams to kind of decide it, but we don't. Yeah. We still don't know if they're the right four teams.
I mean, we went from old guys going, "There's your chattel. We all decided you get it." To a computer going, "You will play for the national championship." And now we have a committee that's like yelling and screaming in a room and then come out and go, "Here's four guys, go duke it out." Much like the Joker when he snapped those pool cues in half and went, "Here you go, boys, figure it out. We've given you the tools, now go get yourself a championship." I kind of like it this way. I always get a little nervous with the expansion talk. Like, let's have an 8, let's have a 10, let's have a 12. It's kind of like, yeah. Kind of like your uniqueness.
No, but I think we need to go to 64.
Yeah, why not?
Let's why not?
Play college football until May. Just do it that way. That's good stuff. All right, again, coming up next hour, Good, the Bad, and the Dumb. You don't want to miss that as we roll along on a Wednesday. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. Glad you could be with us.